continued interest for your prayers as we stand before you. I'm glad everyone set their clocks. I want to notice primarily some Old Testament scriptures this morning. We're blessed to be on this side of Calvary. We're blessed to know God has fulfilled his word that he had sent through his prophets, that he sent his son to this world to save his people from their sins. Oh, we rejoice in that, don't we? The Lord is the light of our life. And it's the light we need. Brother Jamie was praying and mentioned the condition of this nation. Boy, that'll drag you down awfully quick, won't it? When you think about the condition that we're in. And you're left wondering, what can we do? Let's pray. That's a good start, isn't it? But what we can do is that we, each one who know the Lord, can be faithful to him. That's our job, isn't it? To let our light shine before others, before men, that others may see our good works, but not pat us on the back. That others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's our job. Okay? So anytime we approach the Old Testament scriptures, we have the blessing of understanding they've been fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ has won the battle. He's rose from the dead. He's delivered us from our sins. We can rejoice in all of that, what he is and what he has done for us. And as we look at the Old Testament scriptures, then we see that when it exhorts us to do things, we can see in a pattern in our mind of the life that the Lord Jesus Christ lived out before us. He is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We're exhorted to follow the Word, but God's Word was embodied. That Jesus came as the perfection of that Word and lived it before us. And so as we follow this Word, we're following him. Now, I want to begin with a verse of scripture you'll find in Psalm 119, 93. Psalm 119, 93. We discussed that some time ago. I guess you could say years ago. And I'm sure you remember everything about it. Psalm 119, 93. I hope you do remember that each one, of the 176 verses in Psalm 119 is extolling the Word of God. In some form or another, it's glorifying this Word. And it's instructing us at the same time. Psalm 119, verse 93 says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Now let's notice some terms here. Precepts. You know, as we went through Psalm 119, there were commandments, there were statutes, there were precepts, there was the word, there were commands. You know, all of those different ways of expressing the word of God. Precept. What is a precept? Just to give you a definition, it's a point of law, a commandment, an unchanging truth. An unchanging truth. So the psalmist said, I'll never forget thy unchanging truths. Okay? For with them thou hast quickened me. Now the word quicken. The word itself, as used in the Word of God, has an array of applications. From the giving of life to the restoring, to enlivening, to exciting, to life and liveliness. All right? We could use some of that, couldn't we? Enlivening, exciting us to life and liveliness. Now, let's go a little bit farther with this quickening. Even though the Word of God uses quicken or quickened or quickening or whatever form you're looking at, it uses it in a variety of ways, yet we always have to look at the context to figure out what portion of that is under consideration, right? In Ephesians chapter 2 and 1, "And you hath he quickened." Now, let's see. Does that mean enlivened? Does that mean give life? Does that mean to excite to liveliness? "And you hath he quickened who were dead." Ah. Well, that tells us where we had to come from. It's not a matter of being asleep and just waking somebody up. There was a death under consideration, a separation from God, something that we by our own strength could not pass beyond. When he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins," that means that until we heard the life-giving voice of the Son of God, we were still dead in trespasses and sins. I don't care how much Bible you read. I don't care how many Bible tracts somebody gave you. I don't care how much preaching you heard. Until that life-giving voice, it has to come from the living Word, speaks to our heart, quickens us from that death in sins to a life in Christ. The written word, the preached word, all of those other forms of the word will do us no good. We won't have any appreciation for it, will we? Okay? But God takes care of the quickening. In his own time, in his own way, he doesn't send a preacher, he does it himself. Now that distinguishes us as Primitive Baptists from most of Christianity. But that's what the word says. All right? It's not a matter of if you'll see the kingdom of God, you can be born again. It's you got to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. All right? So let's just lay that foundation. I believe you're established in it, but I want to start from there with this quickening. Once a person is quickened by the life-giving voice of the Son of God, then the Word of God can become meaningful. Then we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, I want to notice John 5:21. I got a couple of verses here I want to talk about, but then I want to go to some passages, and maybe you won't have to flip so many pages. We'll try to stay close. But John 5:21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them," he's talking about the resurrection, isn't he? All right. "Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Now, what that tells us is that God the Father is above all and over all. And at the end of time, when time shall be no more, do you realize time's going to run out sometime? Maybe I shouldn't say sometime. At some point, time's going to run out. You ever think about that? When time shall be no more. When all that you've worked for, all the pursuits that you have in this world will be meaningless. Because time will be no more. God's going to raise the dead, the just and the unjust. Jesus will be coming in the clouds. That verse, when it says, "For as the Father raiseth up," let's see, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." That presents the idea that God is above all and over all, but the Son, who is God also, but he's focusing upon the work of the voice of the Son of God. The Son quickeneth whom he will. And that's not all, is it? The Son is not going to quicken all. I know there's a lot of people in this world, all they've ever heard is God loves everybody, but if you don't accept him, you're not going to be saved. Jesus said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." Those who the Son quickeneth will be raised to life and glory with God. That quickening that Jesus does when he speaks life unto those that were given to him to save. Now, I know when you start talking about that, invariably somebody, "Well, what if somebody never heard the gospel? What if a child died in the womb and never saw the light of day?" God takes care of his own. That's why he didn't leave it up to a preacher. God sovereignly works for his own. And he gives life. And as horrible as the sin of abortion and all the abortions is happening in this country, and our legal system says it's legal. Every time it happens, God's law still cries guilty. No matter what man's law says. But even so, if Jesus died for them, they're in heaven's pure world. We're safe in the work of Christ. We're safe in the blood of Christ. That quickening, giving of life is what the life-giving voice, the Son of God, gives life. When we're talking this kind of life, we're talking spiritual life, aren't we? When I was quoted from Ephesians 2 and 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead," we're talking about living people who were dead spiritually. But the Spirit of God quickens us spiritually. And it takes that Spirit, the life-giving voice of the Son of God, to give life. But you know as well as I do that even though we have spiritual life, there's times that we need to be enlivened, right? There's times we need to be encouraged. We need to be lifted up. We need to be more lively in our service to him. And so when you read the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, when the psalmist David writes about asking the Lord to quicken him, we're talking about a person who has already been quickened by the Spirit of God, who has been given life, but needs to be enlivened, needs to be energized, needs to be restored and excited as far as his service to the Lord. And in Psalm 119, let's see, it's 11 times. 11 times. In Psalm 119, David speaks of quickening, asking for quickening, or speaking of the quickening that God has done for him. And I'm not going to try to go through all of those this morning, because there's three of them that I want to notice. And if the Lord will be our helper, we want to take what he says in those three and notice some of the proverbs that teach us some practical application for what that says. All right? So, in Psalm 119, in verse 37, Psalm 119, verse 37. Remember now, our text was another one of those 11 quickenings. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. One verse I left out in going through the application of the quickening. When we're talking about the Word of God, whether it's the written Word, whether it's the preached Word, whatever, it's not what gives life. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. In other words, they had the idea, the Jewish people had the idea, that if they just kept the law, then they could live with God forever. So Jesus told them, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, of him. He's the only one that gives life. He's the one that raises us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. Okay? Now, in Psalm 119, verse 37, we have some very practical teaching. From our text, when he says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I mentioned it, I didn't really put it in the form of a question, but don't we need some quickening sometimes? Maybe we need some quickening today. And that quickening, enlivening, all right, would draw us closer to the Lord, would make us more attentive to His Word, would strengthen us to not to follow this old flesh as much, but to follow more closely to the Lord. Quickening, we need that, don't we? How often do you need it? Do you need it on the 1st and the 15th? Maybe the 1st and the 15th second of each day, of each minute of each day, all right? We need it on a regular basis, don't we? And I'm continually talking about the need for us to be reading the Word of God. All right, so in verse 37, he says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Now, what is vanity? Vanity are those empty things of this world. Those things that take up so much of our time, but spiritually they are to no profit. They might even be contrary to godliness. They're empty. They don't help us. As far as this time world is concerned, there might be some advantage in applying so much time to those things, but as far as living close to God, they're empty. As a matter of fact, if we fill up our life so much with the things of this world, we don't have any room left for God. And so not only are those things in themselves that we fill up our life with, they're empty, but they hinder us in serving the Lord as we should. So David says, here's a good way to help us stay on track. All right? Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Not just seeing it. There's a lot of things that come across our path as we go through life. We see it, but we don't have to keep looking at it. Right? That's the difference between just glancing at something and beholding. When you behold, you pause and you think about it. You keep thinking about it. Turn away mine eyes. What if we could keep our eyes on good and godly things all the time? I know that's not very realistic, but it certainly is a good goal. And if you set the mark here, if you get this far, you know, you're doing pretty good. If you set the mark here and you hit it, then you've missed out. Turn away mine eyes. Now, we're not robots. God doesn't make us. You know, service to the Lord is out of love, not out of Old Testament commandment. Service to the Lord is out of love. And when David says, turn away mine eyes, he's asking for help. Don't we need help every day? Yes, we do. And the reason that he's saying, turn away mine eyes, is because he's looking to the Lord for the help that he needs. Lord, please help me not to behold the things of vanity. We have to make our way in this world. We have to go through schooling. We have to our jobs. We have responsibilities at home. All those kinds of things. But bless your hearts, if we start our day asking the Lord, putting our focus upon the Lord, setting our priority where it ought to be, and asking him for help as we go through these things, and keeping a godly frame of mind, then when we look at things in this world, it'll help us to turn away from them. And that's what we need, isn't it? All right? So that's one of the, and let's see, that's just the first part. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. In thy way. Not my way. You're not going to get quickened by following your way. You're looking to the Lord. He's asking the Lord for help. He's asking the Lord to help him stay in the Lord's way, which means we need help. We're constantly pulled in different directions by the things of this world. This old flesh wants us to forget about God and serve itself. So we have to continue to look to the Lord and ask him for the help that we need. And in reason, he says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Is his way better? Is his way a good way? Will his way bring more peace and joy in our lives? Yes. So there's plenty of reasons for us to want to be in God's way, right? All right. Hang on to that thought. Drop down to verse 40. All of this is good, but I'm just going to have to grab a few high points. Verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Now, we understand God is altogether righteous. And what he does is righteous. But what he's talking about here is as we follow the leadership of his Spirit, and as we try to stay in his way, that in itself is a righteous act. And so as we strive to do what's right, as we follow him in that way, in his way, he blesses our efforts. The more we try to follow the Lord, the more he will bless us in doing so. Why do you say that? How could you say that, preacher? Because Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Is that good enough? Is that plain enough? There is a happiness that is added to our life when we do the good things God has blessed us to understand. Yesterday we talked about the secrets of the Lord that he reveals to us. As we follow those things that he blessed us to understand about his word, as he has revealed how that we should be living and it has meaning to us, and bless your hearts as we apply those things, as we ask him for the wisdom and the strength and the grace to be able to do those things, he blesses us. He quickens us. He enlivens us. Those things that we do, if you know these things, happy are you if you do. The blessings and the happiness of it is that we feel closer to the Lord. We're more energized with his Spirit. Anybody here need some of that? We can all use. That's the goal, isn't it? If you go to the New Testament, Paul says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In other words, if we're endeavoring to walk in the good way, if we're asking him for wisdom and the strength to do the good things, he will bless us in doing it. Part of the blessing is he gives us more of his Spirit. We feel it more strongly. It has more influence upon us so that we're not spending so much attention upon the things of this world, but we're thinking more about him. How needful that is, isn't it? That we could be quickened in that way so that we could walk in his way. Now, verse 50. This is my comfort. This is my comfort in my affliction. Now, first of all, we noticed someone that's exposed to a lot of the vanity of this world. And we had instruction about how we should turn away from those things and how that he would quicken us in his way, encourage us, enliven us, strengthen us in that. Then next we noticed, he says, I've longed after thy precepts, quicken me in thy righteousness. As long as we continue in the good way, then he blesses us with more of his Spirit. We have more encouragement. We're more enlivened in our service to him. Then in verse 50, he said, this is my comfort in my affliction. You have afflictions? If you don't have any afflictions right now, remember the time when you had. I'm sure you faced some afflictions in this world. And when you're in affliction, isn't comfort sweet? It's nice to have good friends. It's nice to have family that can come to your aid when you're in affliction. But how wonderful it is that on our bed of affliction, we can lift our heart to God and feel comfort from him. Brethren, we need that every day. Because no matter what we're going through, I don't care how good times are, there's evil all around us. And the closer you're walking to the Lord, the more you notice and the more you realize the afflictions that are around you. When we start turning aside and going away from the Lord, we don't notice those things as much, do we? Oh, how we need that comfort from the Lord. And so verse 50 said, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. All right, in these three verses, we have the quickening in his way so that we can follow more closely. We have the quickening in thy righteousness, that as we continue on in righteousness, there's those blessings that we receive. And then in our affliction, there's comfort. And I picked those three because that pretty well covers what we need in this life. There's times we need comfort in our affliction. Every day we need to be pressing on in the way of righteousness. And every day we need to be careful not to behold the vanities of this life. And God's word will help us to stay quickened to the need for all of those things. Now, from here, I want to go to Proverbs. If you want a theme for the book of Proverbs, my understanding of Proverbs is God's wisdom. God's wisdom. And it's God's wisdom he's given to us so that we can be exercised in his wisdom, so that we would not be a fool, so that we would not act foolishly, so that we would not run with the fools in this world. So yes, there's an awful lot in the book of Proverbs that contrasts the wise against the foolish. But primarily what he's giving us are good, wise words to teach us and instruct us in the good and right way. So we need it so that we're not beholding vanity. We need it so that we can continue in the good way. We need it so that in our affliction we can be comforted. And you might think, well, I don't really have that much affliction right now. And we mentioned that a moment ago. But listen, afflictions have a way of finding us in this life, don't they? And I would rather be instructed in the ways of righteousness and in the wisdom of God before afflictions come, so that I can be better able and better equipped to handle it when afflictions do come. So if you don't feel like that you're particularly afflicted right now, then still the Word of God is for you so that you can be equipped for life. Because I'm going to tell you, life is full. You know as well as I do. Life is full of perilous times. David even realized that his foot had might not have slipped. You know, one step away, one decision away from a lot of sorrow or a lot of challenges in this world. Oh, we need the Lord's help every day we live. I'm going to start in Proverbs 4. And we could go through all 31 chapters, but I'm going to try to keep it to where we don't have to turn so many pages. Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to begin. It's hard to jump in the middle of this one. Let me just go back to verse 1 to start out. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Aren't you thankful that God has given us in his word words of instruction, so that we can grow in understanding? I mean, have you ever been overwhelmed with the way life is? It's a challenge. And the sooner in life that we can pay attention to these principles, the happier we can be. We can avoid a lot of heartache in our lives. And I guess I need to make a few more comments before we read our verse. And God is given. He says, hear, ye children, the instruction of a father. You know, many people have missed that. Many of us. And many of us who did some of it didn't do enough of it. And so that's done in past, but we've got today. We can start today. And we can try to not continue in the errors of the past, but we can try to do better today. All right, so he says, hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, good teaching. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments. and live. And I want that to sink in for a second. Keep my commandments and live. We're talking about a good life. We're talking about peace with God. We're talking about joy throughout our days. I know that afflictions are going to come. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. That's a part of life, isn't it? But the choices we make each day have a lot to do with how much peace and joy we have. So he said, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Now, he's not talking about just letting the ticker keep ticking. Have a good life. An enjoyable life. One in the sight of God, where we can joyfully go through our day and rejoice in the things that he's blessed us to understand and enjoy fellowship with God and with one another. Okay? Verse 5, he says, get wisdom. Now again, we spent some time talking about the quickening. God has to quicken his people. And this is written to those who have been quickened, so that the word can have its effect, so that it can find a lodging place in our hearts, and so that we can continue to be quickened before him. Quickened in the sense of being sensitive to his teachings and following it. Instead of ignoring it, letting our heart get hard and rebelling, we want to stay close to the Lord and sensitive to his teachings. All right? Get wisdom, get understanding. Get wisdom. God's principles, God's word that he teaches us, that he's left us here, that he's provided for us in print. Get that wisdom. And then he says, get understanding. When we read the word of God, we should be reading it for understanding, shouldn't we? It's not a matter of 15 verses, check the box off, I'm good to go. That's not the point. The point is reading it for understanding. And if you're going to do that, you need to be praying. Lord, I'm ignorant. I need your help. Bless me by your Spirit. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things in thy law. If you approach your Bible reading in that way and sincerely desiring to grow in understanding, he will bless you. Now, it may not be as fast as you want it to be, right? But he'll bless you. All right? Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. The quickest way to forget it is to fill your mind back up with the things of this world. Okay? Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, her being wisdom. Okay? Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Do you believe that? It's the word of God. It's faithful. It's true. If we apply ourselves to know this wisdom, to get understanding, to keep it and not forget it, it will keep you. It'll preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding, which comes as we treasure up the wisdom of God. And look to the Lord and ask him to bless us with that understanding. It comes from him, right? It's those secrets that he reveals to us that we spoke about yesterday. It's those blessings that we get from that the natural man has no interest in and has no ability to understand it, but God's people, having his Spirit, have what they need to understand God's Word. Asking him for the blessing. Asking him for the understanding and growing in it. All right, now, time's gotten away, hasn't it? Drop down to verse 10. I'll remind you, what we're talking about is how that quickening needs to happen. We noticed three of the verses out of Psalm 119. But in Proverbs, he gives us these precepts. He gives us these principles. He gives us this wisdom that we need to treasure up in our mind. It's amazing. When you treasure up the Word, it's amazing how the Lord will bring it back to your memory, how he'll put things together for you, how that the Spirit will just open up the understanding for you. But I've never known a time when the Lord blessed me with more understanding of his Word that I hadn't already treasured up in my mind. So we need to be adding. All right, so verse 10, still in Proverbs 4. Hear, O son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Oh. Not that we want to live forever here. But when he talks about the years of thy life shall be many, he's talking about a good life. We mentioned that a while ago. He's talking about a good life, living among God's people, enjoying our family, enjoying the days that we have in our life, all right? Thy days shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Who's done that? The wisdom of God. Where do we get that? From reading our Bibles. Hopefully from hearing some preaching. But I'm telling you, the majority, if the sum total of your spirituality is what you hear on Sunday morning, I need to be praying a lot harder for you. We need this every day. We need to be praying to the Lord every day and treasuring these things up. It'll make the preaching that we hear on Sunday morning more meaningful. It's amazing how the Lord will open up and connect things that you've been reading to the preaching that you hear. It's amazing. God uses his Word to instruct and encourage and build up his people. All right? So he says, I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. We want to know how to stay quickened as far as this Word and stay lively in our service to the Lord, then we need to be instructed in the way of wisdom and be led in the right paths. And that's what we get from the Word of God. He says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. In other words, there's no reason for correction if we're going in the right way. Okay, that's a good way to live, isn't it? And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Now, obviously, he's talking spiritually. Okay, we're trying to run our race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He helps us. All right? He goes on to say, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Again, we're talking about desiring to live a good life. As we mentioned recently, how that God told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. To live that good life, to have the blessed fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with God's people. That's what we want, isn't it? That's the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And we need to be pressing toward that mark every day. All right? A few more verses here. (Clears throat) Enter not into the path of the wicked, verse 14. Well, we all understand that, don't we? But how close do we get to it? Are we going to turn away our eyes from beholding vanity? Or do we think that we're strong and we can handle it and we can just go ahead and do that? Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. We want to know God's way. We want to follow God's way and not the way of evil men or women. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except that they have done mischief. You see what they're bent on doing? Mischief. Things that are not pleasing to the Lord. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just, here's the wisdom of God. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What perfect day? Well, we're not talking about just making it to the end of time. The Lord told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. We want to grow and mature so that we can be a disciple that's well able to serve the Lord and walk in a way that's pleasing in His sight and be a good influence on our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors, or whoever it might be, so that we can stand up and let our light shine before others, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's the goal, to be mature, spiritually mature, and walking before God in that way that He told Abraham to be perfect. All right? So the path of the just is the shining light. We're following that path. We're endeavoring to do those things which are pleasing to Him. It's like a shining light. There's more light. The farther we go, He continues to give us light. All right? It's like a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. But then He contrasted in the very next verse, verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Now, that's clear, isn't it? The path of the just is as a shining light. If we're endeavoring to go in God's way, in thy way, quicken us in thy way, if we're endeavoring to go in that way, He continues to add light to our life. Because we're pleasing Him. Because we're walking before Him. But the path of the wicked, the way of the wicked, is as darkness. Is that what we want in life? Obviously not. Okay. Path of the wicked, He says, the way of the wicked, is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Look at that expression. They know not at what they stumble. In other words, they've got trouble, but they don't understand it. They are stumbling along the way, but they don't have the light to see what they need to be doing. You see how practical this is? See how wonderful the instruction of God is? Simply by endeavoring to follow in His path, He will help us. But if we turn away and walk contrary to the Lord, there's darkness and stumbling. Move ahead to chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6. I got to close this out here. Another several verses here that's very practical. Shouldn't be any mystery here. Okay? But the more we lay this wisdom up and think about it and try to follow it, the more help we see that we can receive from the Lord. And as we're going about it, we'll be more quickened, more lively, more enlivened with the Spirit to serve the Lord and find more joy and happiness in doing so. Chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment. Now listen. The Proverbs were words given to Solomon that he penned down. So that's why, you know, you find so often, my son. Sisters, you just think about being a child of God and receiving instruction from the Lord as you read this. I mean, that's an easy transition, isn't it? Okay. It's not teaching that only applies to young men. It's for all of us. It does us all good. It applies to all of us. Now, obviously, you know, he makes some contrast there, but just keep that in mind. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. What's he talking about? Bind it continually upon thine heart. Keep adding it to. Keep it close. Don't forget it. Don't leave it off. Keep it in your memory. Keep it. Keep the understanding of it. Okay? Know what the instructions are. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. It's going to be close at hand, isn't it? All right? When thou goest, all right, here's the benefit. Here's the blessing of keeping the word close. Whatever mental picture you've got of binding it to your heart and keeping it around your neck, it's close to your heart. It's close to your understanding. It's in the forefront of your mind. It's a priority of how you approach life. You're approaching life looking through the filter of how God would have us to live our life each day. Is there benefits from that? Sure there is. Sure there is. He says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. I think so many times as we make our way in this world, we're confronted with so many things. And it would be mind-boggling if we knew how many decisions that we have to make in a day's time. If we remember, we need the help of the Lord to make the right decisions. In other words, we're continuing to want to please the Lord, and so we're asking Him for wisdom and understanding of His Word so that the decisions we do make will be pleasing in His sight. That's when it will lead us. And He says, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. You ever had a problem, trouble, you just tossed to and fro all night? Oh, what a blessing it is to be at peace with God, and your rest is sweet. Thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. That is, if you're keeping it close. That is, if you're continuing to be exposed to it. If we're not, if we're filling up our mind because we're beholding vanities and filling our mind with those things, it pushes out the effect of God's word, doesn't it? These are simple principles, but it's what God has put in His word to remind us. We need to be reading it on a regular basis. And in Proverbs especially, it works out really well. It's 31 chapters. Read a chapter every day. If you get behind, don't worry about catching up. Just read the proverb for that day. If you're up to the 7th and you go 2 or 3 days real busy, hectic schedule and all that, and you get to the 10th and you haven't read the proverbs, if you can, go back and get it. If not, just read that one for the day. If you'll make that your daily habit of reading that proverb for the day, can you imagine if you go through the book of Proverbs every month? And then after a year's time of reading the Proverbs every day, how much of God's wisdom that you can treasure up? Is it too much to ask to read a chapter a day? So are we doing it? Why not? It'll keep us. It'll help us make better choices. It will add joy and peace in our lives. Oh, how much we need the wisdom from the instruction of God's Word, that we can be quickened according to that Word, that we can be quickened according to His judgments. We can be quickened according to His loving kindness, all the ways that He speaks about. We need that enlivening in our life and drawing us closer to Him each day. All right. We got to close, but let me get two more. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, look at verse 5. A righteous man. We want to be walking in the way of righteousness, the way of the Lord, right? Okay. A righteous man hateth lying. Don't you hate lying? Don't you hate it when somebody lies to you? Just speak truth. Just speak truth. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. In other words, we're following the Lord's way. If we've treasured it up so that we know what it is, and we're following it, and that light is shining upon our path, and God's giving us understanding, it keeps us while we're in the way, and it'll help us keep us in the way. Okay? But wickedness overthroweth the sinner. In other words, it works against you. And as we noticed earlier in the other passage, the light's not shining on us because we're stumbling in darkness, and we don't even have the understanding to know what the problems are. All right? So, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Notice verse 14. I'll go back to 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. That reward quite often is peace, contentment. Which way would you rather be? All right. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Notice how he describes those things that can hurt us as snares. A snare is something that is not openly seen. A snare is something that takes us quickly. We need help against those kind of things in life, don't we? We need wisdom. We need understanding. And God's Word teaches us so much about how to make the right choices so that we can follow Him, enjoy light for our path, peace for our way, joy in our heart, and peace among our friends. Isn't that the kind of life we want? In verse 15, good understanding giveth favor. Good understanding giveth favor. There's more favor to be found as we grow in understanding. Good understanding giveth favor. But the way of transgressors is hard. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors, in other words, those that are not following the word, not following the way of the Lord, he says that way is hard. Perhaps we've all had seasons in our life when we felt like it was hard. Things just weren't going right. If we feel that way, the Spirit may be calling us to seek wisdom from Him. You know, we've talked a lot here recent months about temptations, the trials. Sometimes trials are because of disobedience, but sometimes it's simply testing so that we can grow. Does anybody here feel like they got some room to grow as a disciple? Does anybody here feel like you've got some room to grow in the wisdom of God? Do you have some room to grow in our understanding of His Word? Well, bless your hearts. This is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. Read it. Treasure it up. Keep it close at hand. Keep it in the forefront of your mind. Ask the Lord for the help to understand it, and He will bless you in doing so. I tell you, He said, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You don't ever have to worry about running out of something to learn in the Word of God. I won't get into it because time's gone, but there was a very familiar verse I was reading this morning, and one word just jumped off the page at me that I really hadn't keyed in on before. And it just opened up a whole new avenue of thought. Not new truth, it's just truth I hadn't seen. It's God's truth. Brethren, avail yourselves to the Word of God. Don't forget His precepts. That's what quickens us to more lively service to Him, and He's worthy of all the service that we can give Him. May God bless you is our prayer.